This is Gracelyn Keller with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, and I'm excited today to be joined by Dr. Vijay Trisal, who is the Chief Medical Officer of the City of Hope Cancer Center. So, Dr. Trisal, thank you so much for joining me today. And could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about City of Hope to get started?
Grace, thank you. Thank you for having me. I am a surgeon by trade. I'm a cancer surgeon. I've been at City of Hope for 21 years now in different capacities. I actually joke that I've been here for 21 years, but have not held a steady job. I've gone from being a researcher here, focusing a lot on a disease called melanoma, which is a cancer that typically happens in the skin. And from there, I also helped us develop a network in Southern California, where we went from one site to 35 sites, and now we have a cancer center in Orange County that we have developed, which is a specialty cancer center. And we also have now sites that we incorporated CTCA into our fold. So we are in three other states, in Georgia, in Illinois, and in Arizona. And City of Hope is a comprehensive cancer center. It is an NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center, and only 52 of the hospitals in this country have that designation. And that designation is not just a title. It means that our world and our work is focused not only on prevention of cancer, treatment of cancer, discovering novel therapies, but also making sure that we are taking care of the most vulnerable and the most indigent by expanding into the community, having research protocols that would advance science. And NCI designated cancer center has specific requirements, and City of Hope is one of them. In fact, we have been taking care of patients, whether those are cancer or diabetes, or while we started with tuberculosis, it's been 110 years since we have opened our doors to take care of people. And that care is the commonality in how we have grown over the last 100 plus years.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for that background on City of Hope. And I would love to shift the conversation a little bit toward patient experience and a little bit of information about what you're seeing with patient experience in cancer care and the trends that you're currently watching there.
Yeah, so let me define, people have different perspectives on what patient experience means. And while patient experience may mean on one end from, hey, how quickly did you pick up your phone call? How did you greet me? Did you care about me? How quickly you got back to me? It also encompasses the outcomes. What is my clinical outcome once I'm diagnosed with cancer? And what is my functional outcome? Not just how long did I live, but how did I live those years of my life? And all of that, if you add the cost of care and the waste that happens in our system and our complications, I put all of them under the umbrella of patient experience, because you can't have a great patient experience where you had warm coffee and an internet that was very well functioning, but the actual treatment that you gave was not in line with the best chance that you have of survival. So when we look at patient experience at City of Hope, the fundamentals is what we started 100 years back, is taking care of not just the patient, but their communities. You know, in our world, we say that it's not just one person that gets cancer. It is their family that has impacted by that, their job that is impacted by that, their whole neighborhood that gets impacted by that, because they all bear the brunt of a complex cancer. And today, when you look at outcomes of cancer, I'll give you this statistic, which is staggering, is that based on where you live, which county you live in, the chance of survival, and this is patients below 65, this is not Medicare age, the chance of survival can change, can vary from 16 per 100,000 mortality rate to as high as 230 per 100,000 mortality rate. So there's a wide variability. And a lot of that variability is because taking care of patients who have complex cancers has become more and more harder. And that is because the knowledge that is coming, the amount of information on each cancer has logarithmically increased. So let me give you the statistic that in the 1950s, it took about 50 years to double knowledge. And I'm just talking about medical knowledge across the board. Today, in 2 months, medical knowledge doubles. So while the treatments have increased, while survivals have increased, lesser people are dying of cancer, the chasm of difference, the difference between the people who have access to that care and the people who don't have access to that care is what you are seeing in these numbers that I quoted earlier, where your chance of survival is based on where you live, what your education is, and what kind of insurance do you have, and how much farther you are from an NCI-designated cancer center. Only about 20%, I would say that's the upper end, of patients with cancer are treated at an NCI-designated cancer center. And the difference in outcome is, this has actually been tabulated, that if you are coming to a place like City of Hope or any of what is called the Alliance of Dedicated Cancer Centers, your 5-year survival is around 54%. If you're going to a place that is not cancer focused, that takes care of everything else and is not NCI designated, for the same type of cancers, the survival is about 44%. So there's a 10-point difference based on where you seek care. And I think that we should bake into the patient experience question that you asked earlier, Grace.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you for connecting those two as well. And I think that those are very important points to make when we discuss patient experience. I'd love to shift the conversation toward health equity. And this is such a buzzword right now and something that everybody's really looking to improve upon. So how is health equity evolving in oncology care? How are you addressing health equity? And what are you seeing in terms of health equity right now?
I think you mentioned rightly that it's not a buzzword just because people want to talk about it. I think people want to do something about it because they see these inequities every day. When you see patients coming to your clinic that have stage 4 disease, and if you had diagnosed that 2 years before, it would be stage 1 and it would be curable. That is the biggest amount of frustration that I see on the front lines. So equity is based on your access to care, based on your color, creed, caste, based on your gender, based on your type of disease. That range of how are you going to do if you were diagnosed early, if you had the right insurance, if you had the right education, it is all over the place. I'll give you this example and it will put things into perspective. We have gone from a discussion around value-based care that has gone from, hey, we are spending a lot of money on healthcare and we won't have any money left if we continue spending in that way. But we may have gone in the wrong direction in oncology. Because targeted therapies that are novel therapies are not accessible to those populations. We had about 500 new drugs. These are targeted therapies, monoclonal antibodies, that would be made every year. These are new drugs, late stage oncology pipeline. In 2008, we had about 500 coming out every year. Today, we have about 1,000 drugs coming out every year. And not only is this equity, this variability, because you don't have the right insurance, it is also knowledge-based. Is that if you're not landing in the right doctor's office who has super specialization about this specific cancer, you may not have access to these life-threatening diseases that have new treatments, you may not have access to the new treatments. In Southern California, or in California, I should say, the state has opted in Medicaid. It is a great program where patients who may not have insurance or who may have life-threatening diseases have access to the state's Medicaid program. But it also comes with a caveat where if you are in a managed Medi-Cal program, that means you have a Medi-Cal HMO, even though you have the right insurance, you don't have access to areas, hospitals, and specialists that are the best to treat that type of cancer. So we just introduced a bill that actually not just introduced, it got passed through Congress. It's called the SB 987. And what it allows is access for the historically disadvantaged. So managed Medi-Cal is one of them. And it also includes managed Medicare, where you have some of these complex cancers like leukemias, like you need these T-cell therapies, like CAR T-cell therapies you may have heard of, that people that don't have access to that, the bill actually allows you and mandates that you have access to an NCI-designated cancer center or specialized centers that can treat you with the latest treatments and that gives you the best chance of having the best outcomes. So the equities question is not just a buzzword. It really impacts people on the front lines. Take, for example, Black women who develop what's called triple negative breast cancer. Triple negative breast cancer is one of the most aggressive breast cancers that people have. And women who have triple negative breast cancer have a higher chance of having metastatic disease to their brain. They have a higher chance of the tumor recurring even after initial treatment. And one is having access to those treatments, but the other part is the research part of this, Grace. If you're not studying these cancers, we will never have focused treatments. And it disproportionately impacts women of color. Their outcomes are worse, their survival is worse. But if you're not enrolling them into clinical trials, you will not have adequate tissue to study them, and you won't know what works and what doesn't. It becomes important that we don't lump everything into one bucket without understanding the details of that. And when I look at the question of equity, I look at equity from knowledge perspective, from disease perspective, from color perspective. So all of these factors have to come into being to say, what is the ideal treatment for this person? Somebody who is coming from Central Valley here, we may decide to do radiation in a different manner because we can't expect them to come every day for 30 days to get their radiation. And having that, what is called hypofractionated radiation, that can be delivered in 5 days. So you have to think of equities also in the geographic perspective. How close are they and what impact does it make on their day-to-day functioning if they were to complete that treatment? I don't know whether that answers your question, but I just wanted to get some of my thoughts out there.
No, absolutely. I think you've made a lot of really great points on both the importance of health equity and the ways that we can continue to strive toward a more equitable health system in oncology and total care for all kinds of people in all areas and all demographics. So I think that's a very important conversation to have and great points made in that aspect.
Yeah, and Grace, I'll add to this that while we have sometimes thrown up our hands and say, we can't do anything, the patient is living 200 miles away, there are, especially COVID has taught us a lot of different things. There are many things we can do where you can actually get the right treatment in the hands of the people that are local that doesn't necessarily need for you to travel. I'll tell you about this program of ours, which is called Access Hope. Access Hope is a company that City of Hope has started, and now we have national partners in Seattle Cancer Center Alliance, which was called the Fred Hutch in the past, Emory and Northwestern and Dana-Farber. These are very reputed cancer institutions that take care of patients with cancer. And we have partnered together to provide remote second opinions to companies, to employers, major top 500 employers in this country, many of them are in that Fortune 500 companies, whose employees now have access to places like City of Hope, where their doctors can remotely connect with us, and our specialists, who are the best in the world, in the country definitely, can help them with charting out a clear-cut algorithm about what is the best treatment for this. And when we initiated this, this has been in place now for the last 2 years' time, we found that in about 50% of those cases, there is minimal disagreement. Hey, we could use this drug for lesser toxicity. We could use this drug for better benefit. In about 30% of those patients, there's a moderate change in treatment plan. And obviously that impacts your survival. But in 7% of those patients, there is severe change in treatment, where the previous treatment would actually have led to poorer outcome, poorer survival, more toxicity. So this program, these programs can be done remotely. They don't need to be, not everybody needs to come to Duarte, to Los Angeles, to be able to avail of these treatments. They can be employed by a company in Idaho and can get access to the treatments that we would propose. And in rare circumstances like bone marrow transplant, which is one of the signature treatments that City of Hope is really famous for, we do the largest bone marrow transplants in the country. And we have best outcomes year after year after year as compared to the type of patients that we see. And this is not me speaking. This is national organizations like CIBMTR that look at this data and say, hey, who has the best outcomes? Who is seeing the most patients? So things like that, for that, people may have to travel because it's a one episode. You get your transplant and you get your treatment locally. So I think we have to think innovatively in today's day and age to say there's not just one way of ascertaining that patients are getting the best care, but there are multiple different ways and we can tailor that approach.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Treesall, thank you so much for joining me today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This has been a wonderful discussion. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you, Grace, for having us. And it's a joy to be talking about these things where we can have an impact not only in today's generation, but in future generations as well.